I got some big news to break to you this morning. I am not perfect. That's awesome. I feel better now. I don't have all that weight on me. Lord, we come and thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that your word is truth. Lord, we thank you that you, Lord, loved the world so much that you gave your only son, that in whoever believes in him would not perish, but will have eternal life. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, it divides between what's flesh and what's carnal and what's spiritual. So, Lord, today we just ask that you would reveal yourself to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're on a journey, right? Sometimes the journey is fun. Sometimes exciting, sometimes it's easy, sometimes really hard, right? But there can be joy in the journey, whether it's a challenge or not a challenge. I think about the scripture, you know, it's found in Hebrews chapter 12. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he suffered the shame. Now he sits at the right hand of God. So there's a whole deal about us going through stuff so that there's a hope in front of us. I think about like athletes, you know, and what they do, especially the Olympic athletes, not like the hockey players and basketball players. You get to play every week and they get millions of dollars and we all feel sorry for them when they go on strike and we want to give them some of our money because we feel so bad for them. Amen? No. No, but the Olympic athletes, these guys are like hardcore. Like they live in obscurity for 4 years, practicing. Getting up early in the morning, fighting, working out, hard work. And then they get there, and in one day, either all that work paid off or it didn't. But they, for the joy that was set before them, endure, right? And for us as believers, sometimes we're like, oh, it's too hard. I've had like two bad days in a row, right? I'm not trying to diminish, right? Some of us have had two bad years in a row. Some of us have had five. Some people have never had a good year. I recognize that fact. But the truth is, God is good. And so no matter where you are today, no matter what part of the journey you're in, there's joy for you in the journey. There is joy for you in the journey. But you have to get your eyes lifted up. David said, I look to the mountains because that's where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's my God. And so sometimes we have our eyes down. Or worse yet, we have our eyes turned inward. We look at our own self. We look at our own life. We look at all the things we're going through. And we're like, oh, it's so bad. And here's the truth. Misery loves company. And that is kind of like sometimes is good to have some other people in misery because then we don't feel like we're alone in it. I want to tell you I'm not perfect so that you'll know that because you're not perfect either, you're not the only one. I'm telling you, like, sometimes we think we're the only ones going through it. Sometimes we think we're the only ones in trouble. We're the only ones in struggle. I know the stories around the room, and sometimes you'll look at a person and you'll think, well, that person's got it all together. They never have any troubles. They never have any struggles. Their life is perfect. Well, I can guarantee you, because I know, it's not true. So if you're in trouble today, you could be at least assured of this, that there's probably 50% of the people in the church are going through something with you at the same time as you. And they're going through it sometimes thinking they're the only ones in it. And you think you're the only one in it. But this is not just for you. This is common to everyone. And this is what we need to understand, right? Because sometimes we get, the devil tells us, the enemy tells us, see, you're no good. Nothing ever works for you. All this problem is because of you and who you are and because of what you were born into. And because of the you know, your family background or your, you know, whatever. And we get, oh, well, everybody else is perfect, but I'm not perfect. I don't belong. And the devil isolates us. And the devil gets us in a place all by ourselves. And then he tortures us and torments us and tells us all the lies he wants to tell us because there's no one there to tell us it's not true. And I'm here to tell you this morning it's not true. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Are you guys surprised? Yeah, no. Sometimes people tell me, oh, you're so... And I'm like, oh, if you were my wife, you would know that's not true at all. That's not true at all. I'm not perfect. I'm probably less perfect than a lot of people in this room. I could be really uptight at times. I could be really short with my family at times. I can be really kind of worried about things at times. I can be like, you know, feeling real down about my life because I know I'm going through this. No one else. I'm just like you. And you're just like everyone else in the room. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and Jesus went through everything that you went through. It said he was tested, tempted, and tried in every way that you were, but he did not sin. So whatever you're going through today, there could be joy in the journey. Like, I think about Jesus hanging on the cross. I think about that night in Gethsemane. I think about what he went through, bleeding, you know, through his pores because he was, they say that was a sign of stress. Like, he was beard ripped from his face. His body was beaten beyond recognition. And he says in Hebrews, it's for the joy that was set before him. That even in that part, there was joy for him. Paul, right? We talked about him a lot lately and how he went through all this stuff and he was shipwrecked and he was beaten and he was left for dead and he actually faced end of life in the Mamertine prison. I showed you that picture last week, minus all the sewage that would be laying in there normally when there was prisoners there. And so, like, Paul is like our hero and we think, oh, Paul's Mr. Sunny Day. Everything went good for Paul, but it didn't. So if things aren't going perfect for you, it's normal. But there's joy in the journey. There's joy in the journey. There is more to this life than this life. I remember when Nick got sick, you know, a couple years ago. And he was struggling. And God told me, tell him, it's not life and death. It's life and more life. And this life is only just a small part of what we're going to have. There's so much more. And we're looking toward the day when we'll see him face to face. That's what Paul says. Now we see in a glass darkly, right? But then face to face. Now we just know in part, but then we'll know fully what Jesus is. So I'm just looking forward to living in his presence. And right now I live in his presence to a degree, but I know it's only just a little bit of what we have coming. It's a down payment on what's to come. And so I look forward to that day. And all this stuff we have to go through in this life has, you know, it says it's like a woman who's having a baby, right? They're pushing and it hurts and they scream and they call their husband names and they're going through all this stuff. But as soon as that baby's born and they hold that baby in their hand, all the pain of that time is forgotten until their husband looks at them again. Get away from me. No. But my problem. I can't try and be funny because then I lose my place. So I think I'm too funny. Anyway, so I don't know. I was talking about something. Oh, yeah. So even all this stuff you're going through, we get to be in the presence of Jesus and it's all going to be gone. It's like, oh, man, that was nothing. That was no big deal. That's so small compared to what I have before me. So I just want to encourage you to look up. Our journey is not just for this life here. And I'm not going to do my whole intro again, but that is really what this is about. Life is not about just this part of life. This part of life is so small. But we look forward to our home with Jesus. We look forward to the presence of God for eternity. We look forward to, like, all the stuff that's going to come with that. While we're here, we could take a lot of the blessings he's got for us. And also, that we're going to take a lot of the trouble that comes with being a believer and just being human. The Bible said if you love me, you're going to have trouble. And if you get married, you're going to have more trouble. This is what the Bible says. If you get married, you will have troubles. Right? Anybody married that's never had troubles? Everybody loves their spouse and never had a day where they just didn't want to punch him in the nose or anything like that. No, everybody's good. Happy, happy, happy. I've been in your small group. I know that. But we just need to know that God is with us and he has a life plan for us that's good. So we're on this journey. And so I said a lot of that to say this. We talked about a lot of things, you know, so far about the journey. But I think this is a really important part of the journey, is that we have to do it together. To have any richness in life, to have any depth to our relationship with God, we have to have a relationship with each other. And this is what I want to tell you, although it's probably redundant. It probably is something that everybody already knows, but maybe you only think you're the only one that's had this problem. Is that if you have a relationship with another person, you take the risk of being hurt, of being offended, of being, you know, just going through stuff. Has anybody experienced any of that? Like when you have a relationship with people, has any of your friends ever ticked you off? Just like three. There's three right across the front. That's it. Really, you guys? Yeah, like, I mean, how many of you have ever had your spouse tick you off? Been hurt by your spouse? It's going to happen. If your kids ever just frustrated you to no end, like where you just like are just like, ah. Anybody? Yeah? Parents? Have anybody ever had their parents tick them off? Yes, I have. I remember my dad was so stuck on curfew that like if I was home a minute late, I might as well be 2 hours late. Death and destruction and chaos followed, right? Like, it was just bad. It was noisy, at least. It might not have been death and destruction, but it was a lot of, right? we've all been through it. How many of you ever had a boss that you worked for that just drove you crazy? Yeah, how many of you have ever been the boss and drove everybody else crazy? Yeah, so, like, relationships are messy. Even the best relationships are tricky. Relationships do not happen well just because you are a nice person. Nice people are probably some of the worst relationship people because they never say what needs to be said. They never do what needs to be done. They just kind of like they're the martyr and they just take it. Until, you know, then somebody who comes along that has a listening ear can hear about all that. You know, and then there's mean people that shouldn't be in relationship with anybody either because they're mean, except they never know they're mean. Like, these people are always wondering why everywhere they go, everybody is an idiot except them. Really? Have you guys ever noticed that? It's like somebody that you know talks to you and they're like, I don't know what it is, but everybody I know is just like, it's just like, and you're thinking, yeah, that's because that's who you are. And everywhere you go, you bring you. So relationships are messy. Relationships are risky. Relationships are horrible at times. But relationships are beautiful. Relationships are wonderful. Relationships give us a reason to get up in the morning. Relationships give us so much. With everything that's good comes some bad. But most of the things that we go through is a lot about how we respond and react to things. I was listening to Dr. Laura. I haven't heard her in years, but I got a deal on satellite radio the other day, and so I was listening to Dr. Laura on the radio yesterday, and she was talking to this lady who was, like, having a hard time with her husband. And her husband, you know, this and her husband that. And she said, well, you know, the problem doesn't sound to me like it's your husband. The problem sounds to me like it's you. And you expect too much from him, and you don't give anything back to him. So she says, why don't you just, when you feel frustrated with your husband, just give him a hug or ask him to give you a hug. And she goes, well, I don't feel like having that hug me, right? And she said, but you, if you'll do the actions, the feelings will follow. And this is true about relationship. If we will respond in love to people and care to people, the relationship or the feelings will follow. I do this many times when people are going through conflict with people, with the other people. When especially if someone comes to me and says, this person is really bothering me. How many of you ever had someone really bother you? I'm going to give you some really good advice. Because everybody I've done this with has come back to me and said later, oh, it's okay. I actually feel like I really care about this person a lot more now. Pray for them every day for a month. Take 5 minutes a day and just pray for that person for 5 minutes for the day for a month. And at the end of the month, come back and tell how you're feeling about that person. I guarantee you it will all turn around because your feelings will follow your actions. When you invest in someone else, your feelings will follow your actions. I promise you. I haven't even looked at my notes yet. We're already flying here. So, relationships. If we go back to Genesis, we can see God created Adam, right? And Adam was in the garden. And there he was with God. So either Adam looked really pathetic, or Adam was kind of a pain in the neck to the Lord. But one way or another, after just a very short period of time, God said, it is not good for you to be alone. Right? Do you ever wonder why God decided that? Like, I always wonder when I read something, why is that, right? So why? Was Adam just, like, pathetic, or was Adam... The thing is, God is the God of relationship. Before he created us, he was there. Father, Spirit, Son, in relationship. And then he created us to be in relationship with him. And of course, if he had ones like him to be in relationship with, we should have like us to be in relationship. So God said it's not good for us to be alone. Not good for you to be alone. And I think one of the biggest problems people have today, even though we're in a crowd, we're alone. We choose to isolate ourselves. We choose to keep the blinds closed on the windows of our heart, and we choose not to let people in. We say we want relationships, but when it comes to being vulnerable and being open to people, we don't really want relationships. And God said, it's not good for you to be alone. So you have to take a chance. You have to get out there and really, you know, try. In John 14, Jesus prayed for his followers and asked the Father to make, that's us, one. As there, him and the Father were one. So the world, this is what it says, so the world will know that you sent me. So our relationships, as we do relationship with each other well, it not only answers the question in our culture, is there a God? But it also answers the question that God sent Jesus because we needed a redeemer. When we do relationship, it's really clear and honest and truthful that in the scriptures there's a call to relationship with each other. Even though at times the cost of relationship seemed to outweigh the benefit of relationship, there is an eternal value to relationships. It's not all about us. We when we come to Jesus, we make him the Lord of our life. We say, Jesus, you be Lord. The word Lord actually means to be in control of my life. Be the one who makes the decisions, who makes the calls, who tells me what to do, and I'm going to just do it. It's not just even like a boss. A Lord is actually much, much, you're giving the Lord a lot more authority than you would give a boss. Our whole life belongs to him. And he's saying to us all through Scripture, be in relationship with each other. And even though the costs sometimes outweigh the gains, still the call of Scripture is to love and to care for each other and be giving and generous, even though that is the case. It says in the scripture, greater love has no one than this, than when he lays down his life for a friend. How many of you lay down your life for your friends? I mean, you don't die. Obviously, you're here. If you had laid down your life for your friend that way, you'd be gone. We wouldn't be able to ask the question. But how many of you are willing to at times lay down your life for your friends? Let's do it this way. When you're in a disagreement with your spouse, right? How many of you are willing to lay down your rights and say, okay, I'm going to just give this up. I'm going to let it go because I'm willing to lay down my life for this relationship, this friendship that we have. I don't have to be right this time. This is how we lay down our life. Sometimes, you know, like with kids, and they're not here, but you guys can tell them, those of you that have kids, the pastor said this, that, you know, sometimes laying down your life for someone is just obeying your parents because they say to do it. I think that you should give more of a reason than just because I told you so. But even still, kids should obey their parents. Sometimes laying down our life for our family is, even though it's uncomfortable for us, even though it's a lot of work for us, even though, you know, we're tired and worn out from work, that we take time to be with them, to just hug them and hold them and tell them we love them. That's what we're going to do this afternoon, Logan. Just hang out together. Poor guy. Imagine being the pastor's son and having your dad picking on you in church all the time. Anyway, it's just like, so it's just sometimes saying, I need to spend some time with this child, even though I don't have the energy, I don't feel like I have the time. I just want to rest. I want some me time. But just letting them know you care for them. There's so many ways that we can lay down our life for our friends, for the people we love. This is what Psalms 133, verse 1 to 3 says. It says, how wonderful it is, how pleasant for God's people to live together in harmony. It is like the precious anointing oil running down from Aaron's head and beard down to the collar of his robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon falling on the hills of Zion. That is where the Lord promises blessing, life that never ends. And when you read that, it sounds kind of really wonderful. But when I think about someone pouring oil on my head and it running down, it's kind of, but there's something beautiful that happens when we live together in unity. And when we live together in unity, God can bless that and make it beautiful. And make it beautiful not only for us, but for others. So we don't live just for ourselves now. We live for God and for His kingdom and for others. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, it says, let me give you a new commandment. This is Jesus speaking. Love one another. And how do we love one another? In the same way I loved you. Love one another. So how did Jesus love us? He gave His life for us. He walked that cold walk to Calvary for us. He was alone. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was shamed. He went through so much for us. How many of us are willing to do that? Love one another as Christ loved us. So like, you know, when you're going trying to make a new friend, and the first time hanging out with that friend is good fun, and the next time it's awful, do you just give up? And just say, nah, I don't really like that part of friendship. Some of the best friends I have are not people that I hit it off with right away. Some of the best friends I have, we become best friends because we've been through a lot. Some of it good, some of it bad. And there's that whole idea in Scripture. So there's a whole dying to ourselves that happens as we live with each other and care for each other. This is not a happy, smiley, everything's going to be okay kind of message. Like, because really, relationships are hard, but they're worth it. I've been with Christine, married for just about 26 years. Like, it'll be 26 years in June. And we've had some really good times and we've had some really tough times. But I love Christine more than I've ever loved her. We're growing in our relationship with each other. And it's not because she just, you know, she's waiting at the door for me when I get home and she plants a big kiss on my cheek and she has dinner ready and she's like making my life no stress. Because that's not our life. We're both pretty busy people. We're both doing whatever needs to get done to get the... But we've chosen to love each other and we've chosen to work through hard times. And I was cleaning. We were redoing the floor in our bedroom this week and I was going through because I save a lot of cards. I love cards. So I was reading through all the cards I have and I read through like about a dozen Valentine's cards that Christine wrote to me. And I was like, oh, this woman is amazing, you know? But there's times where like we're not getting it together either. It's just like, everything we do is like this. Every time we try and be kind, it turns out to be war. Is that, do you guys get that? But the relationship is worth it. The relationship is powerful. The relationship is deep and strong. And this relationship will endure. We're gonna live together till we die. And we're going to love each other till death do us part. And we're going to care for each other. And we're going to fight with each other. And we're going to love each other, and we're going to be together because it's worth it. And there's a lot of people in this room that I've done life with for a long, long time. And it's worth it. It's powerful. And it's not easy, but relationships are worth it. We can see clearly in Scripture how important it is to the kingdom of God that we prosper in our relationships. The Bible actually says that our unity will bring people to an understanding of Christ. Even if we don't do it for ourselves, how many of you here have a loved one that you're concerned about and you're praying that they'll be saved and be able to be in heaven with God someday or have a relationship with Jesus? Like, you put up your hands. And so here, I just want to just say this, and I don't want anybody to take offense to it, but if you don't have your hand up, please go make a friend today that doesn't know Jesus. We can't live this life without being reaching out to other people. Josh said today that maybe we're losing the battle. We're not, praise the Lord, because I think like over 2.5 billion people on the planet are Christ followers, and it's growing every day. It's growing every day. But we're not winning either. We're not winning unless there's 7 billion people following Jesus. So we need to make some friends that don't know Jesus. Or we need to dig into our family tree, go do a family tree and find somebody in our tree that needs Jesus and let our heart break for them and let us try and reach them for Jesus. It's important. It's what we're here for. We're not here just to go make a living and live and die. We're here because the kingdom of God needs to grow in the earth. People need to come to Jesus. So, I'm running out of time. So I haven't even started my points, but I just want to talk to you about this. And this isn't even in my notes, but I think it's a really important thing. We need people, how many of you find that sometimes your life feels kind of stuck? Like, you know, you wish you had more going on in your life as far as relationships go. So here's what I think, and you've heard me say this before. I'll probably go into a little bit more depth than I usually do because I have a few minutes. We need three kinds of relationships in our life. We do. We need relationships where we could just kick back and enjoy life together. Right? Life like, so you see, in the Bible, Jesus, even with his disciples, right? The picture of the Lord's Supper, it's kind of not culturally right for us because everybody's laying down at the table. It seems kind of weird and uncomfortable to me. But the picture that I see in there is that there's a bunch of guys here that just feel comfortable together, that just relax and enjoy each other, that they're just normal guys because we read the Scripture and they're like at each other a little bit and they're competitive and, you know, a couple of them went to their moms and said, "Mom, can you talk to Jesus for me? Because I want to sit on his right hand and want him to sit on the left," right? So they're like, you know, they were normal people. but they had life together. They lived together on the road, right? So we need people that we can just enjoy life with. People that we can just have over to the house and not really feel like we have company. That we're just hanging out. Or when we, like, you know, Brian's dad and I have been friends for 100 years. We've been friends since we were kids in church here together. And so, like, sometimes we see each other a lot. Sometimes we don't see each other that much. But when we see each other, it's just like same old, and we're just like, life is good, right? We're friends. We've been through stuff. Sometimes he's been mad at me. Sometimes I've been mad at him, you know, and we've even gotten a few brawls with each other over the years and, like, fist fights even, you know. But like, we still love each other, and we just hang out. We're just good for each other. We just like each other, right? These are good relationships because we just need places to relax. We need places where we can just enjoy friendship. We need places where we can just be ourselves. You know, like, so there's some people I have in my life that I could tell them anything, and I'm not worried about it because they're my friends, and they weren't going to change their mind about how they feel about me because I told them that. Like today when I told you I wasn't perfect, right? But, like, we need that. We need the relaxation and the comfort of good relationships. That's a really important relationship. If you don't have those kind of relationships, I would just challenge you. I'm going to probably talk about this next week, about just walking across the room. Some of my best friendships I found just because I was looking around a room looking for someone who needed a friend. Just because I was looking to see who looked like they were alone in the world and just made a friend of them and invested in them. And now that the investment has paid off to me in so many ways. But, like, so then, also, we need people in our life that are really spiritual fathers to us or spiritual mothers to us. We need people in our life that are pulling us from the level we're at to the next level. We need that. We need to find some people that we could talk to that will tell us the truth in love. Like, I remember when my boys were young and I was just new in ministry, and, like, I'd just been on staff. Like, I wasn't new in ministry. I'd been in ministry, but as a volunteer for probably about 14 or 15 years at that time. And being a volunteer or being a staff pastor is totally different. Like, when you're a volunteer, it's all, like, given, it's all wonderful, and it's all beautiful, and like, everything you do out of love, right? And then when you become a staff person, all of a sudden, like, for me, it became like, now I've got to account for the money I make, and I got to work harder because I'm never going to be able to do enough to earn the pay that I get from church, right? So it changed things a lot for me, but like, I just was a new staff person at the time, and I was talking to one of my spiritual fathers, and I'm going, like, I want my kids to follow the Lord in ministry. Can you, like, lay your hands on them and just pray for them and ask God to just put an anointing on them for pastoring and leading? And they're like, Ralph, give your head a shake, man. Like, this is not wise. This is not right. This is, you have to let them find God's will for their own life. Now, I know your heart is right in this, but what you're doing here, if you continue this into their age when they know what you're talking about, you're going to chase them away from the Lord. And I felt really kind of like, oh, well, I just wanted something good. But they were able to correct me in love, and I believe it really saved my kid's life. Like, honestly, because I think I would have pushed them away if I tried to shove that on them. And now that I've done ministry for 20, you know, 5 years or whatever of paid ministry, I don't know if I'd want that for them. You gotta be called to it, because sometimes it's more than what you think, you know? So that was really important for me. There's times where, you know, like I told you guys last week, when I was going to go away to this mission, you know, this thing in Dominican, and I was just worn out, and I didn't know if I could do it. And I called Pastor Paul, and I called Pastor Steve, and I said, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I got anything in the tank to do this. What do you think? And they said, Ralph, you need to go. You need to go. You need to push yourself, but you need to get in a different environment. And I did, and it helped me. I need people in my life that are pulling me up, that are challenging me, that are forcing me to go to a new level, that aren't letting me rest and get settled where I am. You need that too. Like, when I say to you today, you better make a friend that's not a believer, or you better find someone in your family tree that's not a believer. I don't say that because I'm just trying to increase the numbers at Jubilee. The reason I say that is I know for you to be healthy in your walk with God, you better have the heart of Jesus for lost people. You better have some spiritual babies so you can grow mature and have someone to look after. I'm speaking the truth in love to you because it might seem like no big deal to you, but it is a big deal. It's going to keep you stuck in your Christian walk if you don't have somebody you're trying to reach, somebody you're praying for, someone that you care enough for that you would spend your day and your time to reach them for Christ. This is a challenge to you because I love you. And then we need people in our life that we pull up. Because here's the truth. I never grew up as a young man until I had a kid. I mean, even when Christine and I first got married, before we got married, nobody thought I'd ever get married because I was kind of a goof. Like, I was a bit of a moron. Like, I just was, like, all about fun. And sometimes I didn't know when to stop having fun. And I didn't know when to, you know, behave. Like, I just was a little bit of an overgrown child. Just saying. And then I met Christine, and she started working at me, and she did a good job, but she couldn't do it all on her own. Levi came along and just ruined me. Like, he just, like, I had to grow up. I had to get mature because now I had people that were little people, people that didn't know what I knew, who were relying on me to be their provider, to be their protector, to be their teacher, to be everything that a father is supposed to be. And it grew. I grew up so much in that first year we had Levi. And then we had Logan, and I grew up more. And so as believers, we need spiritual children in our life to make us grow up. I think if you've run a small group, you've learned that there's people that are listening to you and hearing you, and you're studying for them, not just for yourself. And you're trying to hear God for them, not just for yourself. You realize in the time you lead a small group that you grow and mature spiritually as a leader, as a person. I don't want to say leader because I think people are afraid of that. I think people are afraid to be called leaders. I think that, you know, mature people in the Lord, as you grow in maturity to the Lord, with the Lord, as you try and help someone else, you grow yourself. You know, like I remember when we were just starting out bus ministry years ago, and so there was a young lady on the bus whose husband had abused her and hurt her, and she had left him, and she was trying to get reeducated and trying to start over. And Christine and I didn't have much at the time. But she didn't get enough from welfare to pay for school, to get to school, to put food on her table. So every week when Christine did our groceries, she went and did groceries for this lady and brought groceries to her so that she would have some fresh food. She could get like a lot of dry goods and stuff from the Salvation Army, but some fresh food, vegetables, some fresh meat, some milk for the kids, all that kind of stuff she would buy. And it grew us up as a couple. Because we were caring for someone else. We were taking care of someone else. Now, if you're lacking in life, right? First of all, do you have any friends that are close? Do you have anybody you could just hang out with? Do you have people that you could just enjoy being around? People that are believers that love God, but also will love you and just, you know, you could be yourself with. If not, I just challenge you to be more vulnerable. Just take more chances relationally. Take the risk because it's worth it. It's worth it. And then if you're not growing the way you should, then you need to find some spiritually mature people. And I'm not just talking about the pastor. I'm talking, you look around this room, and there's some pretty strong believers who have walked with the Lord for a long time. How many of you have been believers for more than 30 years in this room? How many for more than 40 years? How many for more than 50 years? Like, there's mature people. So how many more than 20 years? There's a lot of people here that have served the Lord for a long time, and they know so much, and they are so willing to help you. They're willing to speak the truth in love to you if you'll let them. They'll allow that if you'll let them. But you need to let them. We need to grow up. We need to be more mature and less sensitive than we are. If someone tells you this would be really good for you And even though you're feeling offended by that statement, or you're feeling like maybe I'm not a good mother or a good father, or maybe that person thinks, most of the time they're not trying to say something about your character. They're just trying to tell you something that will help you. So find that person. And to help you find that person, what I want to say to all of you who are really spiritually mature in this room is you need to look around the building and you need to pick out somebody that needs help. Someone who's not walked as long as you have, or maybe is going through a difficult time, and just take them by the hand and walk with them for a while. Just every Sunday morning when you see them, take a moment, say, hey, how are you doing? What can I pray for you about this week? How can I help you? When you're going through your week and they come to your mind, just take a moment and leave a message on their phone, if anybody still does that, or send them a text or whatever. Like, do something to let them know you're caring for them. Because for the body to work right, for us to do relationship right, there has to be this constant kind of cycle of those three kinds of relationships. I really believe that with all my heart. And so today I want to challenge you, because some of you here are lonely. Some of you feel like you don't fit in, but I'm telling you, you do. I'm telling you, there's somebody in this room, there's someone in this world that needs you, is waiting on you. You just need to take the chance. You need to just be willing to be hurt, be willing to go through it, because like when you say I do, you're going to go through it. When you have anybody, you know, that lives in your house, you're going to go through it. You know, it's just life. So don't worry about it so much. Be willing to be hurt for the sake of the gospel. Be willing to be hurt for the kingdom of God. Be willing to, as Jesus did, right, for the joy that was set before him, endure the things that relationships will throw at you so that you can see the fruit of what a good relationship will do. Lord, thank you for your kingdom. It's a beautiful kingdom. It's wonderful. And Lord, we're going to do life together far longer than the 40 or 50 years we have left on this planet for some of us. Or some of us, you know, 80 or 100, I don't know. But Lord, however long we have on this planet, we have eternity, Lord, to do life together. Lord, help us to invest. Lord, put people on our heart. Lord, connect people today even across this room that with people. Lord, let people be humble enough, Lord, to say, I need help, I need a friend, I need love, I need care. Help some people in the room be, Lord, sacrificial enough to say, I'm willing to be that for you. I'm willing to pour into a relationship that there might not be any value in for me in this world, but there'll be value in the kingdom of God for. Lord, let there be people around this room that would feel not so down about who they are, that they wouldn't realize the treasure you put in them that they could share with others. Lord, I ask this in the name of Jesus. I ask it for your glory, for your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen.